Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church this fine morning. Now, I know it's the opening weekend of the NFL season and it's the continuing NASCAR playoffs, but there is a much larger sporting event today that will be monumental, I'm sure. Well, it'll be something anyways. Julie Ryan's going to tell you all about it.
Good morning, everyone. So nice to see y'all. So yes, today at 3 o'clock down at Thames Park, we are going to be playing some softball, a friendly game of softball, family friendly. Wesley Knox Church has accepted our challenge and they have put together a team. So we need to come out and defend our Anglican tradition. And so I encourage you to come. Even if you're not going to play, just bring a chair and watch and cheer us on. We'll have one of those tents so you can sit in the shade. And then at 5 o'clock, come back to the church and we'll have a barbecue. John and Rob have put together some good food. Bring something to share if you can. There'll be plenty of food. So please join us for one or both of these fun events. Thanks.
As a baseball player, I have always been an outstanding lacrosse player. But there is somebody in my family that's a pretty good ball player. I can't remember who that is, but you might have heard of her somewhere along the way. Anyway, it's appropriate for me to do the next thing after Julie having been up here. Next weekend, there's this thing for Indwell's part of a fundraising called That Damn Hill. And I had planned to do my usual start of a fundraising for Indwell by walking in that, or running, or falling down, or whatever. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen, so I called Julie, because we know Julie works for Indwell, and said, I need another shtick to do this on. So Indwell is just ready to open their facility in Old East, but already working on the third one, or getting ready to work on the third one, which is off South Street in the old Children's Hospital area. So she gave me an idea. They are already starting to take donations to furnished apartments. And if you remember way back when they did their first one on Dundas Street and we had a fundraising night and I stood up and said, well, we'll furnish one of those apartments. And then I came back and hoped that you would do it, and you did. So if we did one then, we're going to try for two this time. So from now until Thanksgiving, we would invite you to participate in this. They're $2,500 each, so yes, we have a lofty goal. As always, I'll throw in the first $100, and Jim Circum, our people's warden, said, well, if you can, I'll do it. So Jim is throwing in $100 as well. And I'm sure if Barb Robinson, our other warden, was here this morning when we cooked up this idea, that she would also be donating as well. So we make it as easy as possible. Just make the donation to St. James with Indwell on the subject line. And then we take care of getting it all together and getting it to them. You still get a tax receipt from St. James. So as far as I know, that all works, and that's a good thing. So we know that homelessness is a huge issue in our community. And what I love about Indwell is that they're part of the long-term solution of getting people into secure places. And then some of them, you know, they find their new home in one of the buildings and then they move on and somebody else comes through. So it's a wonderful way to do things. We have supported them for many years and we will continue to do that. So thank you, Julie, for the suggestion. And I hope that you'll all jump in and help us out. Later in the service today, we will be doing a short remembrance, a time of prayer in honor of Queen Elizabeth II. So that will come up, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it as we go along. Steve told me this morning that just by accident, the opening hymn that he picked long ago was part of the Queen's coronation in 1952. And there's another song that was part of that coronation, which will be part of our tribute a little later on. Let's take just a moment of silence to calm our spirits, and then we'll worship together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you call your church to witness that in Christ we are reconciled to you. Help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may turn to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues with the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the book of 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus.
And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to do two things in this space this morning. The first is there will be a short homily, and yes, I remember from a long time ago in seminary that we were taught how to preach short homilies. I just tend to forget a lot, but I will try and keep it very short, because we wanted to do something to give us all a chance to sit quietly and think about the happenings of this week and the loss of Queen Elizabeth II. So we will be reading letters from the Archbishop of Canterbury, the National Church, and from our own bishop. Victoria will be singing a song that did come from the 1952 coronation of the Queen. Following that, Steve will play quietly and be an opportunity for us all to think, to reflect, and think our way through the events of the week. So I started the week getting ready to preach on Luke's gospel, and then things kind of changed a little bit, but I'm going to go back to where I started because it was a moment that helped me develop this understanding of Luke's gospel. This is the first of a series of parables that only Luke records. So you can ask yourself, it doesn't mean that they're right or wrong or in between, it just means that it's worth stopping to think about, so why did Luke pick these particularly to include? So the first one, the parable of the lost sheep, has always caused me a little bit of struggle when I take it by itself, because let's be honest, if any of us had 100 sheep and one was lost and the other 99 were going to be left in peril and they were our life, our living, we wouldn't have gone to look for that one sheep. We would have stayed right where we were and took care of our 99 and hoped somehow, some way, the other sheep got home. The parable of the lost coin is a little different. Now we have a woman who has lost a coin and can stay in her own house and go looking for it. So she's not risking her other 9 coins to find that one, but she's still happy when she finds it. I think where it starts to come together a little bit is when we look at the next parable, which we won't be reading in this cycle of the lectionary, but one that I think we all know quite well, the parable of the prodigal son. So when I first read the parable of the lost sheep and was thinking, as I suggested to you, that why would you leave the 99 and go look after the one, I looked at the calendar for this week and noticed that it was 9/11, 21 years ago, where literally hundreds of first responders, without stopping to think about the 99 that they left at home, raced into smoke and fire and explosions and raced upstairs in buildings that they knew were going to collapse and gave their lives to rescue the one lost. That made me stop for a minute to think about that. And what it led me to is to an understanding that when you have a group of parables like this, You can take them individually, or you can look at them in the greater context and see what it might help us to discern. And it seems to me what it's saying is to follow the greater calling, to follow that which is good, to find that one lost sheep. Steve and I were laughing at 8:30 this morning. A year or so ago, he brought me a song by a country artist by the name of Dean Brody with a bit of a chuckle on it when he said it, we should do this. It's called The Black Sheep. And the start of the song, it begins with him saying, I was raised in the master's house, but I didn't mix well with God's people. And so I left and went out. But I still think that God will bring me back home to do the right thing. God will bring him back home and he will do the right thing. Yeah, so the parable of the prodigal son. The father should be able to say to the son, you squandered everything. And in fact, the older son does say, you squandered everything. You shouldn't be here. The father says, I love you. And despite what you've done, I'll take you back and celebrate. And a poor widow, perhaps just with a coin, would have been the difference between having a meal or not having a meal. And maybe could share that meal with somebody else. So when we start to think about it, it's that whole thing of doing the right thing, doing that which might not be the easiest, but to do that which will help people. And if there is anything that I think I would carry from Queen Elizabeth II is that she had that ability to make people comfortable. How many of you have seen the video with Paddington Bear, the marmalade sandwiches? There are many, many stories of her sense of humor. And if there was ever anyone who took her job seriously, it was the Queen. She had a work ethic, unlike most people. At 96, she was still going. And it was not lost on me to hear that one of the last things she authorized in her life was a letter of condolence to the James Smith Cree Nation in Saskatchewan, saying that she mourned and prayed with them as they went through deep loss in a tragic event. So that's the end of the homily. Amen. We're now going to start into a time of remembrance with letters and a song, and then a time of silence. Letter from Justin Welby. It is with profound sadness that I join the nation, the Commonwealth, and the world in mourning the death of Her Late Majesty the Queen. My prayers are with the King and the royal family. May God draw near them and comfort them in the days, weeks, and months ahead. As we grieve together, we know that in losing our beloved Queen, we have lost the person whose steadfast loyalty, service, and humility has helped us make sense of who we are through decades of extraordinary change in our world, our nation, and our society. As deep as our grief runs, even deeper is our gratitude for Her Late Majesty's extraordinary dedication to the United Kingdom, her realms, and the Commonwealth. Through times of war and hardship, through seasons of upheaval and change, and through moments of joy and celebration, we have been sustained by Her Late Majesty's faith in what and who we are called to be. In the darkest days of the coronavirus pandemic, the late Queen spoke powerfully of the light that no darkness can overcome. As she had done before, she reminded us of a deep truth about ourselves. We are a people of hope who care for one another. Even as the late Queen mourned the loss of her beloved husband, Prince Philip, we saw once again evidence of her courage, resilience, and instinct for putting the needs of others first, all signs of a deeply rooted Christian faith. As we sustain one another in the face of this challenge, our shared grieving will also be a work of shared reimagining. I pray that we commence this journey with a sense of Her Late Majesty's faith and confidence in the future. as a faithful Christian disciple and also supreme governor of the Church of England. She lived out her faith every day of her life. Her trust in God and profound love for God was foundational in how she led her life hour by hour and day by day. In the late Queen's life, we saw what it means to receive the gift of life we have been given by God, and through patient, humble, selfless service, share it as a gift to others. Her late Majesty found great joy and fulfillment in the service of her people and her God, whose service is perfect freedom. For giving her whole life to us and allowing her life of service to be an instrument of God's peace among us, we owe her a debt of gratitude beyond measure. The late Queen leaves behind a truly extraordinary legacy, one that is found in almost every corner of our national life, as well as the lives of so many nations around the world and especially in the Commonwealth. It was my great privilege to meet Her Late Majesty on many occasions. Her clarity of thinking, capacity for careful listening, inquiring mind, humor, remarkable memory, and extraordinary kindness invariably left me conscious of the blessing that she has been to us all. In my prayers at this time, I also give thanks for the marriage of the late Queen and His late Royal Highness Prince Philip. Theirs was an inspirational example of Christian marriage, rooted in friendship, nourished by shared faith, and turned outwards in service to others. May Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II rest in peace and rise in glory. The Most Reverend and Right Honorable Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury. From our national church, it is with deep sorrow that we acknowledge the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II on September the 8th, 2022, in her 97th year of life. Earlier this year, the Queen celebrated the Jubilee anniversary of her reign as monarch, having served with unstinting faithfulness in her responsibilities since 1952. She presided through those years with grace and dignity, rooted in her Christian faith, and with love for all the people she served. The National Memorial Service for Queen Elizabeth will be held at St. James Cathedral in Toronto after the official funeral in the United Kingdom. And from our Bishop Todd. Like you, I have heard the sad news of the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. The Queen was a woman of deep faith and unfailing duty and service. She was also a beloved mother and grandmother. Today, offering our thanksgiving for her life and dedication and holding her family, especially the King, in our prayers, we entrust her into God's safekeeping. O God, from whom comes everything that is upright and true, accept our thanks for the gifts of heart and mind thou didst bestow on thy servant Elizabeth, and which she showed forth among us in her words and deeds. Deal graciously, we pray thee, with those who mourn, especially the members of the royal family, that casting every care on them, they may know the consolation of thy love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In Christ, our Bishop Todd. Thank you. As you are able, will you please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In our parish cycle of prayer today, we remember Dan, Peter, John, Sylvia, David, Marilyn, Anna, Emerson, Eunice, Rick, Rita, Rich, and Al. My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. Let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of Christ's peace as you are comfortable. God, accept all we offer you this day. May we who are reconciled at this table bring wholeness to our broken world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us eternal life. Therefore, joining our voices with the whole company of heaven, we sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth.
We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, and out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new. And bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Now we share in your resurrection. Live in us that we may live in you. So, for many of you who have been away for the summer, we have been through several different protocols for communion. This is where we're at now. Just remind everyone, so we're all on the same page. You may receive in both kinds, the bread and the wine. You don't have to. Some are not yet comfortable in drinking from the chalice, so if you don't want to drink from the chalice, you don't have to. You'll come forward, receive the bread on this side. You can kneel or stand, whichever you want. The wine will be delivered on this side. You can stand or kneel, whichever you want. We do have a gluten-free option if you would like. If all of that just seems too complicated and you just want to come forward and ask for a blessing, if you cross your arms across your chest, then we will offer that blessing. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
us pray. God of peace, in this Eucharist, we have been reconciled to you and to our neighbors. May we who have been nourished by holy things always have the courage to forgive. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you forevermore. Amen.
Amen.